My name is Leonidas, and this is Informed Dissent. What is up, guys? Welcome to episode 32 of Informed Dissent, the podcast where we push back against the culture of groupthink and challenge the narrative. Make sure you like, subscribe, share, hit the bell, so you get updates whenever I post new content. You guys know the drill. I appreciate it. But I hope everyone's having a good week. The trial of Kyle Rittenhouse has taken over the news waves, and it's finally almost over. Maybe it will be by the time that you're watching this, but I don't know if you've been keeping tabs on it, but it's an absolute circus. It is an absolute circus. I mean, the prosecution's behavior alone in this case has been unbelievably unethical, and it highlights a lot of the problems that exist with our justice system and how incentives revolve around winning cases rather than finding the truth. So we're going to talk a lot about that today, and also how it highlights how toxic tribalism is when people have absolutely no issue with tossing due process right out the window when the defendant is representative of the wrong tribe, or when the case advances a particular political agenda. In this case, has proven to us once again that progressivism does not care about justice. They only care about vengeance. And this is the case every single time. Remember during the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings, how unhinged people were and how willing they were to latch on to any accusation, no matter how outlandish. And the fact that there was no evidence whatsoever to support any of the insane accusations didn't seem to matter at all. The media even elevated the creepy porn lawyer, Michael Avenatti, to a position of prominence and credibility. Even to this day, they refuse to admit what they did. In fact, they continue to pretend that their cause was righteous. Here's Joy Reid, the most despicable person in the media, except for maybe Jemele Hill, spewing her racist hatred about Kyle Rittenhouse and Brett Kavanaugh.
So this Kyle Rittenhouse trial, it reminded a lot of people of something, I just can't remember what it was. Oh, the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, in which Brett Kavanaugh, who had been accused by a high school friend of committing sexual abuse of her, cried his way through the hearings to make him a permanent member and associate justice of the United States Supreme Court. And his tears turned out to be more powerful than the tears of Christine Blasey Ford, which were the tears of an alleged victim. But in America, there's a thing about both white vigilantism and white tears, particularly male white tears. Really white tears in general, because that's what Karens are, right? They Karen out, and then as soon as they get caught, it's like, bring waterworks. White men can get away with that too. And it has the same effect. Even as the right tries to politicize the idea that masculinity is being robbed from American men by multiculturalism and wokeism, they still want to be able to have their tears.
The revulsion I feel after watching that, having that level of hatred towards someone else simply because of their skin color, it's abhorrent. And this goes without saying, but substitute the word black or Jewish or any other race or ethnicity for the word white, and tell me it's okay to speak that way. Animosity or hostility towards someone else based on their skin color? I believe we have a word for that, if I remember correctly. You know, let someone say something like that about her. She would be hollering for weeks. You know, I often say that people like that, they like to claim that others treat them badly because they're black. No. Other people treat you badly because you're acting like an insufferable piece of garbage. This is ridiculous. Yeah, and what they did to Kavanaugh was unforgivable. I'm still angry about it. And it wasn't just Kavanaugh either. I mean, the case with Nick Sandman and Covington Catholic, the same thing. They all became completely unhinged. Went after a teenager, just like they're doing now, and claimed to know the nefarious truth beyond any doubt, only to be proven completely wrong. And this happens time and time again. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to them. Derek Chauvin, still to this day, there is not a single shred of evidence that what happened with George Floyd had anything whatsoever to do with race. Nothing. But yet, if you didn't post the black square on your Instagram, you were a white supremacist. If you didn't demand that Chauvin be drawn and quartered without even a trial, you were a white supremacist. Who cares about the body cam footage? We don't need to watch that. There wasn't even any evidence that Chauvin was trying to hurt Floyd. And a basic knowledge of anatomy and physiology tells you that he did not cut off Floyd's airway. Listen, I'm a speech-language pathologist, and I'm telling you that if someone is compressing your trachea to the point that you cannot breathe, you will not be able to yell. It's not possible. But hey, these facts are irrelevant when the agenda matters more. Justice doesn't mean justice. It means vengeance. It means people wanting revenge for some perceived grievance or to further a political agenda. When people say they want justice, they don't want due process. They want convictions or they want exonerations, depending on which ideological camp the defendant falls into. In much the same way, the actual facts in the Rittenhouse case do not matter. You have Joy Reid and all these other blue checks on Twitter turning it into a race issue, accusing Rittenhouse of being a white supremacist, coming up with these ridiculous hypotheticals about what would have happened if Rittenhouse had been black. Are you kidding me? Look at this tweet from Cori Bush. When we marched in Ferguson, white supremacists would hide behind a hill near where Michael Brown Jr. was murdered and shoot at us. They never faced consequences. If Kyle Rittenhouse gets acquitted, it tells them that even 7 years later, they can still get away with it. What? Not only is she completely fabricating what happened with Michael Brown, who was not murdered, by the way, he was killed by a police officer after attacking said officer. He did not have his hands in the air. No hands up, don't shoot. That did not happen. He was a thug who died like a thug. And the whole thing about white supremacists shooting at them? Okay, Corey Smollett, there is 100% chance that did not happen. Zero chance that that story is real. Completely made up. And on top of all that psychosis, she's clearly calling Kyle a white supremacist and declaring him to be guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. This is a sitting member of Congress who is doing this. A sitting member of Congress making up stories about being shot at by white supremacists and calling a teenager who's on trial as we speak a white supremacist without any evidence. It's unbelievable. Here's another one from Nina Turner. If Kyle Rittenhouse were black, he would have been killed for holding that weapon. What's a justice system without justice? These people, man, they have absolutely no shame, no self-respect. We must make everything about race and use it as a political cudgel in every opportunity, even when the case in question has literally nothing to do with race. Doesn't matter. It's pathetic and it's embarrassing. But they won't be embarrassed. They should be, but they won't. I'm embarrassed for them. It's ridiculous. Here's Ben and Jerry's, who has apparently decided to just abandon all sense of reason and sanity altogether and tweet out the absolute worst political takes you've ever seen. The Rittenhouse trial displays yet again that our justice system is racist. How would this trial be going if he was a black 17-year-old that crossed state lines illegally carrying an AR-15 and shot three white protesters? We need real justice in the legal system. This isn't it. Literally nothing in that tweet is correct. It would be extremely difficult to write a more wrong tweet than that. They might as well blamed everything on Huffalumps and Woozles, as much sense as that made. And also, how is it that people have so quickly forgotten about the black teenager in Texas who just a month ago took a gun to school and shot three people and then was released on bail the very next day, very much alive? That was only a month ago. It's almost like facts don't matter. And it's all about the agenda. It doesn't really matter what actually happened or what the actual truth is. It's just about agenda. And what about these from Dylan Park, a writer for Marvel? White privilege is illegally carrying a weapon to an event with the intent to use it, murdering two people, then getting up on the stand and crying about being the victim. And of course, he'll be acquitted. With a verdict near, Governor Tony Evers said that 500 National Guard members would be prepared for duty in Kenosha if local law enforcement requests them. Burn that MF-er to the ground. Wow. Okay. So, clearly, these people have already decided that Kyle is guilty. And they believe that anything else is injustice and should be met with heavy resistance, even violence, as Mr. Park was advocating for. And as we saw journalists and celebrities advocating for all last year during the Summer of Love, they think their cause is righteous and that anything that opposes their cause must be destroyed. And there are so many more examples of this that I could put up here, but this is the general consensus on the progressive left. This is who they are. Like I said, the people who are constantly screaming about justice, they don't believe in justice. They don't want anything to do with justice. They want vengeance. They want suffering. They want to hurt and destroy anyone and anything that opposes their ideology. That's it. That's what justice means to them. They are totalitarians. And this is what they do. This is how they determine truth. They decide guilt first, and then they seek out ways to rationalize the conclusion. The conclusion comes first, not the evidence. And they do this with every single issue, every single one. It always starts with some conclusion that was reached through emotional reasoning. And then that conclusion is rationalized post hoc. That's why we end up with nonsense like, oh, but he crossed state lines and he's a white supremacist and he shouldn't have had a gun. It's because they're searching for reasons to justify the decision that they've already made, a decision that they've arrived at based on emotion and based on tribalism, not based on logic or reason. They have no interest in seeking out the truth as we understand it. They seek out their truth, which is just another way of saying emotional reasoning. They seek out their emotions. That's what my truth means. It means I'm going to get in my emotions and then decide that reality is whatever I feel like it is. You know, I'm reminded of this quote by C.S. Lewis where he says, "Suppose one reads a story of filthy atrocities in the paper. Then suppose that something turns up suggesting that the story might not be quite true or not quite so bad as it was made out to be. Is one's first feeling, thank God, even they aren't quite so bad as that? Or is it a feeling of disappointment and even a determination to cling to the first story for the sheer pleasure of thinking your enemies are as bad as possible? If it is the second, then it is, I'm afraid, the first step in a process which, if followed to the end, will make us into devils You see, one is beginning to wish that black was a little blacker. If we give that wish its head, later on, we shall wish to see gray as black, and then to see white itself as black. Finally, we shall insist on seeing everything, God and our friends and ourselves included, as bad, and not be able to stop doing it. We shall be fixed forever in a universe of pure hatred. Remember, Stalin's chief of his secret police said, "Show me the man and I'll show you the crime." Well, this is the kind of thing that we're dealing with. And it's an extremely disturbing trend. I mean, thankfully, there's a reasonable judge on the Rittenhouse case, because I shudder to think of what this case would have been like if this were a progressive court with a progressive judge on the bench. And the fact that I can tell the judge's political leaning based on how he behaves in court, honestly, that's absolutely abhorrent. I shouldn't be bemoaning progressive judges because of their penchant for bucking the law in favor of progressive ideology. That is insane. It should not happen. All judges should behave like this judge is behaving, like an actual judge and not an activist, not a social justice warrior. Anything else is outrageous and goes directly in the face of how our justice system is supposed to operate. Everyone should agree with that. The idea of conservative and progressive justices on the Supreme Court, for example, is foolishness. And I'm not saying that they can't personally be conservative or progressive. Obviously, they can. But for that to come out in their rulings, and for it to be readily apparent in how they vote on issues regarding the Constitution, it's ridiculous. That shouldn't happen. It should not be happening. We should not be able to tell what their personal politics are. We should demand better from our judicial system in general. So, I don't know. It's honestly incredible to me that this case even went to court at all. I mean, it's a clear case of self-defense. I mean, if we're going to be honest about the politics surrounding this, if we're just going to be honest about the facts surrounding it, it's a clear case of self-defense. So the idea that this went to court at all is wholly political. And the assertion that Kyle was somehow looking for trouble because he was armed, it's nonsensical. It's nonsensical mind reading. And it's not supported by the evidence. You have Binger, the assistant DA, suggesting that simply having a firearm means you lose the right to self-defense. Are you kidding me? That is unbelievable. This guy works for the state. He represents the state. And for the state to make the argument that simply having a firearm is grounds to cancel out any claims for self-defense, it's outrageous. And it flies directly in the face of the Second Amendment. I mean, if what he says is true, then there would be no such thing as self-defense at all. And maybe that's the goal. Maybe that's exactly what they want. As long as you have a gun, you can't claim self-defense. That seems to be the argument. And just as an aside, that picture is insane. He actually pointed an AR-15 at the jury with his finger on the trigger. I mean, holy gun safety, Batman. This dude is an absolute joke. I'm going after Kyle for his gun handling. He can't even, oh my gosh. Unbelievable. But beyond all that, the videos show clearly that Kyle was being attacked. I mean, do murderers normally run away from the people they want to murder? Is that normal murderer behavior? Maybe it is. Maybe people regularly go out to murder someone and just trick them into chasing them and beating them so they can fall down on the ground and then shoot them. It's genius. It's clearly self-defense. They threw out the charge that he was illegally carrying a firearm. So what else is there to even say about it? And even the guy Kyle shot in the arm admitted that Kyle didn't shoot him until he advanced on him and raised his gun, which was illegal for him to even have.
With your arms up in the air, he never fired, right?
Correct.
It wasn't until you pointed your gun at him, advanced on him, with your gun, now your hands down, pointed at him, that he fired, right?
Correct.
It's just, the whole thing is absurd. And you know, that's another thing. People are so focused on Kyle and clutching their pearls about him being there and yelling about him being out after curfew, but no one seems to be having any issue with the people who were there rioting and burning down buildings and beating people with skateboards. No concerns about a curfew for them. It's just a foregone conclusion that they belong there. Kyle is the one who's out of place and who shouldn't be there. Everybody else that's, you know, causing all this destruction and mayhem, they're fine. They're supposed to be there. It's righteous, morally justified. And the whole thing about crossing state lines, listen, I live in Ohio, and it's right on the border of Ohio, Kentucky, and West Virginia. This past Sunday, I went to church in West Virginia, ate lunch in Kentucky, and then went back home to Ohio. I crossed several state lines within a couple of hours. So clearly, I've lost my right to self-defense, right? It's ridiculous. It would take me six times as long to get to Cincinnati, which is in the same state where I live, as it does for me to get to Kentucky. I can get to North Carolina in the same amount of time it takes me to get to Cleveland. So the state line argument is delusional foolishness. It makes no sense. Especially since he lived right on the state line and he had family in Kenosha. It's just ridiculous. But again, like I said, they're just trying to come up with things post hoc to rationalize their conclusion. But it doesn't even matter because one does not lose their right to defend themselves from violent attacks just because they cross into a different state. I mean, that whole argument's ridiculous anyway. And again, how is it that there's nothing to say about the people who were there to burn down Kenosha? The people who were there attacking teenagers? How do they get blanket immunity? The general hypocrisy surrounding the riots and violence from last year just drives me up the wall, man. Like, we're just supposed to pretend like all of it was normal and justified. And David Dorn was murdered in cold blood. His death was live streamed. They let him lie on the sidewalk and bleed out. It's a shame he didn't bring an AR-15. Maybe he'd still be alive. An 8-year-old little girl named Sikoria Turner was murdered when some BLM thug shot into her car. 8 years old. An innocent little child. Where was the outrage for her? At least 30 other people were killed during the hundreds of riots last year. And progressives have absolutely no energy for any of them. It was mostly peaceful, they say. But hey, drug dealers, arsonists, sexual abusers, pedophiles, they lift them up as saints, martyrs for the progressive cause. It never fails. The people they champion are always the worst of the worst of our society, while they ignore the truly innocent and virtuous. Why is that? They make villains out of heroes and heroes out of villains, consistently. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, it would be one thing if the people they were always advocating for were truly innocent, upstanding members of our society. But no, it's always people like Joseph Rosenbaum, one of the people Rittenhouse killed, who had a rap sheet that included, and I quote, 11 counts of child molestation and inappropriate sexual activity around children, including anal rape. The victims were 5 boys ranging in age from 9 to 11 years old. Is it just a coincidence that these people always end up just being awful human beings? How can it happen so consistently? The other guy who Rittenhouse killed was a domestic abuser. The guy who survived, he was also a felon with felony burglary and other crimes on his rap sheet, which means he shouldn't have had a gun, like I already said. These are your heroes? Are you kidding me? These are the people you want to lift up on a pedestal? And the fact that they were all there rioting because of Jacob Blake, who he himself sexually assaulted a woman, just completes the whole ridiculously insane picture. I mean, are you seeing a pattern here? Add George Floyd to the mix, the guy who set off the whole chain of events, a drug addict who robbed a woman at gunpoint and pointed a gun at her pregnant belly. Why are their heroes all criminals? Make it make sense. Because right now it does not. I don't know. You know, Thomas Sowell often talks about how the left tends to view people as abstractions rather than flesh and blood human beings. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think they look at situations as abstract ideas rather than involving people, flesh and blood people. And I think that's exactly what's going on with the Rittenhouse case. None of this has to do with actual people. Kyle Rittenhouse is not a human being to them. He's an abstract representation of opposition to their ideology. And as I mentioned, anything that opposes their ideology must be destroyed. 500 National Guard troops in Kenosha to prepare for the verdict. I think it's pretty clear that the National Guard is not being called in to respond in case of a guilty verdict. I think we're safe to make the assumption that it's not Kyle Rittenhouse's supporters that they're worried about, right? Especially after that Dylan Park tweet. Just like businesses weren't boarded up before the presidential election in case Biden was declared the winner. It was then and is now in anticipation of things not going the progressives' way. If it doesn't fit with the progressive vision, then it will be deemed injustice. And it will be called some massive threat to democracy that must be squashed. This is what I was saying about them not caring about justice. There is no situation in existence where justice means them not getting their way. Do you understand what I mean? In their world, there is no such thing as justice where they don't get what they want. Justice means strictly adhering to their vision of the world and the way they think things ought to be. The end. Power and control. That's the bottom line. And you'll hear me say that often because I truly believe that this is the motivation. So when they do things like intimidating the jury, they believe that their cause is righteous because the jury ruling against them would be unjust, definitionally, because it's not what they want to happen. So therefore, it would be unjust. It would be injustice. Check out this tweet from Jack Posobiec. Two jurors holding up the decision, outright citing backlash per U.S. Marshal in Kenosha. Worried about media leaking their names. What will happen to their families, jobs, etc., including doxing threats from anarchist groups. See, that's fine, right? It's morally justified. Apparently, the judge had to be put under police protection because he was also getting threats. And that's fine too, because it's for the greater good. It's serving the progressive cause. And so, since the judge and the jury are involved with something that would be considered unjust, it's okay. It's okay that this is happening because this is how we get justice. It's insane. This cannot happen in the United States of America. It can't. If the jury can't be impartial because of threats to themselves and their families, then we don't have a justice system. This is mob justice. But like I said, those who subscribe to the progressive dogma don't actually believe in justice or due process or liberty or fighting white supremacy or anything else they claim to believe in. They don't. They believe only in power and control and whatever they have to do to gain it. How else can justice mean cases turning out exactly how I want them to, rather than following what the evidence actually says? Is Lady Justice wearing a blindfold or not? This whole game is just so tiresome, man. I'm tired of it. Especially the race stuff. And we have a case where a white kid shoots three other white people. So, of course, it has something to do with white supremacy. Give me a break. It reminds me of the cases in California and New York where black people were attacking Asian people, and that was blamed on white supremacy. Because that makes sense. That makes sense. There's no logic to any of this stuff. Literally anything can be blamed on white supremacy at this point. But again, only things that go against progressive ideology. We all know that white leftists can do or say whatever they want to say to black conservatives, and no one will say a word. It's fine. The cause is righteous. They don't see hidden white supremacist in a white woman wearing a gorilla mask, throwing eggs at Larry Elder. But somehow, they see it in a 17-year-old kid defending himself against white people while trying to help his community. You have to laugh at it. I mean, it's so ridiculous. And it's disgusting is what it is. The moral compass in this country is so twisted and distorted. Dave Rubin often refers to it as the upside down, like from Stranger Things. And that's legitimately what it feels like right now. Up is down, right is wrong, men are women. It's absurd. It's all absurd. And yet you wonder how much longer they're going to ride this tactic. And it's clear that the only reason they do it is because it works. They know that it's an effective tool of emotional manipulation and emotional blackmail. All they have to do is yell racism or white supremacist, and people lose their minds. Of course, the election of Glenn Youngkin and Winsome Sears in Virginia may be an indication that the tactic is losing power, and I hope so. You can only cry wolf so many times before it starts to lose its punch. But I'm just so tired of it. I'm tired of not being able to talk about anything, not an issue, without it being filtered through some racial lens. And I'm tired of the truth meaning so little and so few people having any interest whatsoever in seeking it. And don't care if that ends with people suffering. I'm tired of all of it. Here's the thing. And this is a good thing for everyone to remind themselves of, not just progressives. Concepts like justice or due process or even liberty itself, the entire reason for the existence of these concepts is to protect people you don't like or agree with. This is vital to understand. The only reason we need these things is to protect people you might prefer not to protect. Because if the only people you ever want justice, due process, or liberty for are people who you like and agree with, then you don't actually believe in those things at all. And if that's the way things are going to operate, then there's no reason to even discuss those concepts. Because decisions can simply be made based on how you feel about a person. Mob justice. Witch trials. And of course, that ends badly for you when you're the one who's being accused. And that's the whole point. We do these things, we protect these concepts to protect people we don't particularly like or agree with because we need that protection too. But people don't seem to think that far. They never believe that they'll be on the receiving end of the horrors that they unleash on others. Like Alexander Solzhenitsyn said in the Gulag Archipelago, people believed in their innocence, and they couldn't imagine such abhorrent things happening to them. After all, they personally didn't think they had done anything wrong. They were naive. And so are we, if we think we're better than them, if we think we're better than other countries and civilizations that have collapsed on themselves. We are naive if we think we can give the government the power to violate the rights of our political opponents without also giving the government the power to violate our own. The blindfold of Lady Justice is supposed to represent impartiality. Justice should be administered without regard for political ideology, race, gender, socioeconomic status, whatever. Justice is supposed to be blind. And I've said many times that if you create a monster and send it after your enemies, it's only a matter of time before that monster comes for you. Justice should never be confused with vengeance. Thanks for watching. I'm Leonidas, and this has been Informed Dissent. Hey guys, if you would like to support the show, you can do so through donorbox.org/Leonidas. That's donorbox.org/Leonidas. I really appreciate that. Make sure you follow me on social media at Leonidas Johnson and check out my website at leonidasjohnson.com. And I also have a Substack now, which is just leonidas.substack.com. So check that out as well. And as always, remember, do your own research, challenge everything, and don't be afraid to stand up for what you believe. We'll see you next time. God bless.